I'm not sure if this is going to be a teaching, a confessional, or a testimony. I think it's going to be a little bit of all three. But I've pastored for many years. I don't think I've ever wept as much as I have preparing this message. So hopefully I won't lose control. You can turn that up just a little bit if you would. One thing I've learned is that most of us don't identify with pastors who don't share their struggles. And I would like to think that, you know, one of the reasons that I struggled so much, because I had something else I really wanted that I would have liked to have taught, and pastor had told me, you got to teach on this sometime. I wanted to share on something that I felt like I sort of had under control in my spiritual life. And I can't really say that I've arrived to where I want to be. But I want us to look in Ephesians 5:16, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified. All of us have 24 hours in our lives. The difference is that many of us have work, some of us work more than others, some of us are semi-retired, some of us are retired, some of us have a house full of kids, babies, teenagers, grown adults, you know, but we all have 24 hours in a day. And we're the ones ultimately who decide what we're going to do with that time and how much of that time is going to be a priority for the Lord and how much of it is what we're going to do with our free time, what we want to do, what we feel most excited about, most motivated. So Ephesians 5:16 in the Amplified says this, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking, hope I can read this, advantage of each. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't even read what I wrote here. That's pretty bad. Because the days are filled with evil. The New American Standard says redeeming the time. A lot of versions say redeeming. When I redeem something, I'm buying it back. That word was bought. That word was used to bind slaves. So when you redeemed a slave, you were buying them back. And I'll be honest with you, it's a struggle. When you have hours of time to, you know, what are you going to do with that time? What do I do with that time? Do I just go, well, I'm going to just entertain myself with whatever I like to be entertained with? And I'm not talking about something that's unclean. I'm talking about, you know, whatever, reading, you know, what your hobbies are, fishing, I don't know, what each one of you like to do when you have hours that are free and available. As a single, semi-retired person, I have a lot more accountability than somebody who has a house full, a spouse, kids, grandkids, who works full time, a mother who works full time and then she works full time at home, you know. The thing that I love about the Lord is that there's grace that's tailored to the person because every situation is different. My situation is different than yours, but we're all accountable to the Lord for how we spend the time, our time, what we have, okay, especially when it's outside of the things that we have to do, you know. If you're employed by somebody, you have to show up and put in your hours. If you've got little kids, you may not get a whole lot of sleep. You may be going day and night taking care of your little ones or your adolescent ones or whatever, you know, whatever the situation happens to be. One of the things that I love about being under the new covenant is that God gives us, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if the Lord had made the new covenant similar to the Old Covenant in giving us all these very specific rules for our diet, for our clothing, for the, you know, for all these different aspects of our life. How relevant would that be today for something that was written 2,000 years ago? It wouldn't be really very relevant. Can you imagine? You know, what does the Bible say about cell phones? What does the Bible say about internet? But the Lord gives us principles. And there are absolutes in the New Testament. I'm not denying that. But it's not a system of law similar to, you know, to the Old Testament in that respect, because otherwise we'd be lost. You know, there's so many things that exist that didn't exist 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. So if I have in my mind that a clarity, Lord, this isn't legalism, but Lord, I'm responsible to redeem my time and to use my time the way you want me to. The issue that we struggle with, and I'm speaking for myself, instead of preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to Joel as well. The issue that I find is that when I'm feeling lonely, or I'm feeling discouraged, or I'm feeling angry, it's just real easy for me to come home and, you know, grab my iPad and start scrolling through, you know, YouTube or Google and find things that I find interesting. Not porn, not trash, you know, not occultic stuff, just sometimes it's prophecies, you know. But when we feel, when the Lord starts dealing with us and saying, Joel, I remember years ago, I lived in a 16-room house all by myself in Atlanta. I was single at the time. And when I was there, I mean, just the bigness of living in a house that wasn't, where I was the only occupant, was kind of a little overwhelming. And anyway, so I used to, when I grew up, we got the morning paper and the evening paper. My parents were both college professors. And I would get frustrated if I couldn't read both papers every day. Now, I know that sounds like ridiculous, but I really liked to read the newspaper, and the only section I didn't read was the sports section, because I could have cared less about whatever team was playing against whatever team. And on Sunday, the newspapers back then were like this. I mean, literally could spend a couple of hours reading the newspaper. And one day the Lord confronted me, and he said, Joel, you know what? You're much more interested in reading the newspaper than you are in reading my newspaper. You know, what can you say when the Lord lays his finger on something? And you know, what do you say? You're wrong? Lord, but you give him an excuse? And the Lord just really put in my heart that I needed to lay that down, that it was unconsciously an idol in my life. I think a lot of our idols are unconscious. But I was listening. I love to listen to David Suchet do the NIV. And so I was listening to 1 John, and it gets to the end. And 1 John, y'all know this, closes with, little children, guard yourselves from what? From idols. And so the Lord, you know, sometimes we're wanting to get a prophetic correction, or we're wanting an angel to come down and tell us, you need to stop doing this. But most of the time, we just lose our peace and we lose the presence when we start doing things that time-wise are not his will. So when I come home and I'm feeling like I'm either lonely or just bored or whatever it is, and I start scrolling through, and then, you know, an hour later, 2 hours later, I'm feeling that deadness in my spirit. It's not that God's giving me a specific word, it's just Holy Spirit is letting me know that I'm grieving Him. This is not what He wants me to be doing at that particular moment. And if it is what I'm, if I'm doing what he wants me to do, it's also going to be for the time that's involved. Sometimes the Lord just wants us to surrender in an area and say, Lord, whatever you want. You know, years ago when I worked here in Dalton in a psych hospital, I was looking for a house. I could spend hours and hours looking for houses online. I also bought two cars online, and the one was in New York, one was in Florida. I could spend hours and hours. I mean, when I was at work and I wasn't, you know, when I got in my work and I would just be checking, oh, wow, look at this house, look at this car. Again, one day the Lord spoke to me and He said, you know what, Joel? You've lost control of this area of your life. And I want you to go on a 40-day fast, not from food, but from anything on the internet that's not absolutely necessary, that's either work-related or like checking your, you know, bank account or something like that. No entertainment, no news. No news? God, I don't want to be ignorant. You know, it's like if you're a good Christian, you have to be, you know, you have to keep up with what's going on, right? I haven't found that in my Bible. I would like to find it somewhere to justify, but I haven't found it yet, you know. And so I did. I obeyed the Lord. But here again, I guess my point is this. We can be ignorant of our own idolatry. And there is no question in my mind that I had crossed the line. You know, I remember when I was a young guy in seminary, there was one old theater that was pretty close to the seminary, and on certain days of the week they would have two movies for, like, I think it was $3 or something ridiculously cheap. And so I would go once in a while. I could hardly tolerate to sit through one movie after I'd seen the first one. I was like, this is too long. You know, it's like 3 hours. It's like watching Gone with the Wind. And you're like, this is really good, but how long is it? Like, what was it, 4 hours or something ridiculous? So how can I get to the point where I can sit there and entertain myself for 3 hours? Looking at something that in itself is not evil. But I lose the peace, and the Lord is speaking to me through losing my peace. He doesn't have to say, Joel, stop this. If I'm losing my peace, that's a more indirect way of Him speaking to me and saying, this is not, you are not doing my will at this. Especially with the amount of time that you're giving to this. Okay? So, one of the reasons I wept so much is that I didn't feel worthy to get up here and speak about this. I'm like, God, you know, I want to speak about this when this is like completely resolved. And I would love to be able to tell you that it is. It's not. But it's in process. And I go through days where I don't do anything on the internet that's not necessary. I can go for days in a row and not, you know, and do that. And I want to get to the point where I can live that way on a daily basis and I don't make excuses, okay? I don't justify and go, well, God, you know, I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm not smoking pot, you know. I'm not looking at porn. I'm a good kid, you know. I want to do the right things. God's calling us. God, we live in a culture that's so controlled by media, okay? And I'm one of the persons, you know, I never got into Facebook, and I would see how people were just like so wrapped up in Facebook. You know, I opened up a Facebook account, and all I got was pornographic stuff and all these teenage girls. I didn't even have a picture on my account, and all these teenage Latino girls were sending me all. I'm like, how does that happen? I don't even have a picture on here. They don't even know how old I am, you know. When I sit in judgment on other people for the way they use their media, guess what I'm doing? I'm setting myself up to have the same problem. It may be in a different aspect of media, but I, because of my condemning, judgmental attitude, I'm setting myself up to have a problem in the same area. I grew up in an extremely legalistic environment where it was a sin to go to the movie theater. Even if it were a Billy Graham movie, it was still sinful and wrong. And what I saw was that people who didn't go to movie theaters had no qualms about watching television 3 hours a night when they got off of work. And I was like, there's something wrong here. It's like you're judging somebody who goes to a movie once a month and you're watching 20 hours of television a week, and it's like, something's not right. Something's not right. I remember very vividly, I don't know whether I was a senior in high school or college, I would read, being a good little independent Baptist boy, I would read my Bible every day, my little King James. I would read it at night just before I went to bed. I don't know, I probably didn't even last 10 minutes. But I loved, the only time I got to watch TV was on the weekend, Friday night or Saturday night, because we only had one TV. And my brothers and dad were just super jocks, and so they were always watching all the ball games, so I couldn't compete because I was one and they were three. And I would be so excited about watching Mission Impossible and the Wild Wild West. I don't even remember whatever. And I can remember how disappointed I would be if they were watching a ball game because, you know, my vote didn't go very far. One night, the Lord confronted me. And he said, Joel, you get so excited about watching your favorite television programs on Friday night, but you don't seem to get very excited about reading my word. You're giving me, this is what he said, you're giving me the crumbs. You're giving me the crumbs. And that really hurt, but it was the truth. The Lord said, why don't you read your Bible? Don't wait till the very end of the day when you're so wiped out, worn out, after going to school, doing all your homework and doing your stuff. Read your Bible earlier in the evening when you have a little brain to assimilate. And then you can go enjoy your TV program. That should be obvious. But you know, we get so blinded by legalism. We really do. It's like, well, I'm a good person. You know, I don't live in fornication. I don't cuss or I don't, you know, I read my Bible every day. You know, I pray every day. I could check off the boxes because that's what I grew up with. You know, okay, Lord, I'm happy to read the Bible every day. I'm happy to pray every day. But what I really like to do is entertain myself with whatever I'm interested in being entertained with. Okay. And I love a lot of things. I love to minister to people. I love to pray for people. I love to worship God. But there's no room for idols. And the Lord's just made it really clear, Joel, this has got to stop. And there's a part of my flesh that doesn't want to lay it down. And so I have to pray, Lord, work in my heart to where I really want to do this, not because I have to, but because I want to please you. I exist for you. You know, you have the right to run my life. And there shouldn't be an idol in my life. Am I moving up? Yes, I'm moving forward. I haven't arrived to where the Lord wants me to be, but I'm on the road. And the Lord has shown me, you know, part of this problem, Joel, is because of your own judgmental attitudes toward other people. I mean, it really bugs me when you go out to eat with a friend or a family member. And I remember one time we went out for, I guess it was Thanksgiving, with all of my wife's family. And we went to the Chinese buffet, and everybody's there, you know, whipping their phones out. And I'm just like, you know, how often do you get family visits from everyone that lives in Mexico, and you want to enjoy some time with them, because this is probably once every, what, 5 years, 10 years. And you go out to eat for a festive occasion, and everybody's on their cell phone. And I'm just like, no, I need a Kleenex. I can't change what other people do. I'm not responsible for what other people do. I am 100% responsible for what I do. And thank God for Holy Spirit, that He's so gracious to us. And yet at times, you know, He will get very specific and lay His finger on an area in our life. And what I want to encourage you is that, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:12 that we're not to be mastered by anything. And I've had to admit that, you know, my interest in news especially is something that has mastered me. You know, I don't know what masters you. I don't need to know what masters you, because you know and Holy Spirit knows. And He has a solution that will work. And part of it is just being, I think the first step is just acknowledging, I have a sin issue here. And even bigger than that is that I have an issue that my flesh is very resistant to laying this down. It says in Galatians 5:24 that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, my flesh is just as rotten as yours. It may even be more rotten, I don't know. But my flesh desires sinful things. And we don't ever reach a point in our spiritual maturity, in our journey, where the flesh doesn't get sanctified. You know what the problem is? The problem is that my flesh doesn't like to be crucified. But that's the same problem that everyone in this room has. I don't like my flesh to be crucified. I like to feed my flesh in the flesh, okay? And it hurts. It hurts to say that. But it hurts more to live in a lie that, well, this isn't so bad. Well, look, Joel, you know, it's like, it's good to know about all the news. It's never good to have an idol. It's destructive. It brings death. It brings deadness. It brings sadness. I feel so empty when I screw up in that. I feel so dead. You know, it's like the Lord doesn't need to say anything else. It's just the contamination of His presence is enough to know that I'm off track. And I have the power to stop in Him. I have to make some decisions. I have to be willing to crucify my flesh that craves entertainment, for lack of a better word, information. You know, so. I think the first Bible teacher that I ever sat under, when she shared her struggles, it really helped me a lot because I never heard pastors share any of their struggles in the environment that I grew up in. I don't ever remember hearing any pastor share their personal struggles or their personal failures for that matter. And so I grew up thinking, who am I? When the Lord called me to be a pastor, I'm like, God, I don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I'm worthy to be a pastor. But we don't have to worry about being worthy. When the Lord calls us to do something, He's the one who decides if we're worthy or not. I don't feel worthy to work in the oncology clinic, to be honest with you. But He's put me there, and so I don't have to listen to that. I don't feel worthy to be a father, a grandfather. It's not about being worthy. It's about being obedient. It's about crucifying my flesh. I like to stuff my face. I can get by with it because I'm, 20 pounds underweight. And you can look at me and people say, oh, you don't eat enough. I'm like, you don't see what I eat. I eat plenty. I said, I could be a glutton and nobody would know it if they didn't watch me eat. My body doesn't reflect that. It's still wrong. There are times where the Lord will say, not one more bite. Not one more bite. You've just eaten all you need. Yes, Lord. I really want this confessional testimony and simple teaching to be something that ministers grace to each one of us and hope, because there is hope. In Christ, we have the victory. In the cross, we have the victory. In our flesh, even though we have to live with it for the rest of our earthly lives, Jesus has done a complete work. And we participate in what He did. We're co-crucified with Him. We're co-buried with Him. But we're also co-raised with Him. I don't have to tolerate any idols in my life. And if I find myself tolerating idols in my life, then I can pray honestly and say, Lord, work in my heart to where I really want to obey You more then I want to disobey You and entertain myself and numb the pain in my life by this escape. And He's doing it. And He'll do it for you. He really will. And you'll feel the joy of the Lord again, because idols steal the joy and they steal the peace and they distract us from doing the things that the Lord really has for us to do. And I can say from personal experience, the worst days in my life are the days I just do what I want to do. And the best days in my life are the days that I give myself to other people, thinking of what they need, thinking of ways to bless them, listening to them, encouraging them, praying with them, for them, witnessing to somebody. I get wrecked when I see people on the street. I mean, it just messes me up, people living. And just to do a simple thing like buying a bottle of water or buying a sandwich and just coming up and saying, here, this is for you. Big deal, $5, whatever. And just to see the look on their face and offer to pray for them, almost always they'll let me pray for them. And it's just like, or something as simple as You see some elderly person in the Walmart parking lot and they got all these groceries. And some lady or somebody who's quite elderly and just say, can I help you put those in your car? Or can I take your cart? And just watch their face light up. Thank you so much. I'm like, what did that cost me? It didn't cost me a penny. It took me, what, a minute, 2 minutes? And I just made their day. And if I prayed for them, the Lord will touch them. And it's just like it completely shifts. It makes my day a joyful experience instead of a sad experience because I'm just thinking about what I want to do and what I need to do. I'm not thinking about what I can do to bless others. You know, think of somebody to call and pray for them, encourage them, or just send them a text saying, I'm praying for you. I have a Jewish friend who I worked with for years in both of the psych hospitals, and her husband died about a month and a half ago. And so she loved for me to pray with her. And she actually asked me to participate in the funeral, which was the most unusual funeral I've ever been to because it was Jewish and Seventh-day Adventist, so it was a mixture of the two. It was a total new experience that I have never, ever, ever had, probably never will again. But the reason that I shared that is that when I'm having a day that's not going very well, what helps me is to stop and think of somebody I can call and encourage, or someone I can send a text to, or someone that I can, you know, I like to leave audio prayers for some people, and I find that they're very well received. I've never had anyone get upset over something like that. Let's just go into prayer. I know this has been real scattered, and I apologize for that. Let's just wait. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to minister to every person in this room. Thank you for shining the light and exposing idols in our lives that are robbing us of your presence, of your peace, of your joy, of your light. Thank you that you don't condemn us, but you call us to walk in obedience and holiness. Let's just wait. Holy Spirit. We thank you for doing your ministry of convicting us of sin. May our hearts never be so hard where we would just shut you completely off and continue to disobey. Thank you that your desire is to bless, and our desire is to obey, to submit, to surrender. Grant us courage, grant us strength to not be enslaved to cultural strongholds that media have the potential to rule and reign in our lives. We declare with our lips that you reign. You're the Lord of our eyes. You're the Lord of our ears. You're the Lord of our mouth. You're the Lord of our bodies. And Lord, we choose to worship and glorify you by your grace, with what we do with our time. Lord, we ask for grace to use it the way you indicate, without being legalistic, to do each day what you would have us do, and let you set the boundaries, the timelines. Help us to believe that you want us even more than we do to be full of joy and peace, because you are our Prince of Peace and you are our joy. So we bless you. Thank you for all these wonderful family members in this room who love Jesus and are part of the family. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you that you will finish the work that you began in us. You will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. You're so good. You're so faithful. You're the perfect Father that none of us ever had. We owe so much. We owe everything to you. Every good thing comes from you. Thank you, precious Father. We honor you tonight.